Today's episode of Robin's Podcast is sponsored by Movement Watches. Look, we get it. Holiday shopping can be tough around this time of year, going to the malls, whether you're shopping for Christmas, Hanukkah, or even Festivus. But thanks to Movement Watches, all that gift-giving anxiety can disappear with the press of a button. Serenity now. These watches make the perfect purchase for anyone in your life, guy, girl. Remember, they start at only $95. This is not the kind of watch that Jerry is going to be throwing in the garbage can just so Uncle Leo can get it. Movement watches are great looking watches that start at just $95, not $400 to $500 like you're going to pay in the department store. Movement figured out that by selling online, they were able to cut out the middleman and retail markup, providing the best possible price with a classic design, quality construction, and styled minimalism. Over 500,000 Movement watches have been sold in over 160 countries. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to movementwatches.com. That's MVMTwatches.com/RHAP. You're going to want to check out the classic designs that these watches have. You'll be getting so many compliments. Step up your watch game. Go to MVMTwatches.com/RHAP to join the movement. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisternino back here with some special coverage here on Rob Has a Podcast. I am very excited to do this. This is something that has been a long time in the making, that since I started the Seinfeld post-show recap with my co-host, Akiva Winokur, we've talked about always doing some sort of reality TV crossover with Seinfeld. And today is that day as we commemorate completing the seventh season of Seinfeld on post-show recaps. Please welcome back Akiva Winokur.
Thanks, Rob. Yeah, I think we talked about this like 2 years ago even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a long time.
And then we sort of thought, no one will listen. But I guess like we ran out of ideas between 2014 and now. So here we are.
Entirely possible. Bankrupt on ideas. And here's where we stand today as we get set to cast and play out a season of Big Brother with the cast of Seinfeld. And I have never done a fictional Big Brother season. We've probably done about maybe five or six different Survivor seasons, whether it's Game of Thrones or we did NFL quarterbacks or the... we've talked about different ones along the way, but today we are going to do a Big Brother season, which this might be a better format, might be a complete disaster. Who knows?
Yeah, I think we'll figure it out pretty quickly. You know, the veto is really sort of the great variable, because I don't know how we're going to work that, but that's, you know, that adds a wrinkle that when we just, you know, fake the tribal councils, it doesn't really have.
Yeah. So we'll figure that out as we go along. And hopefully it's just like, you know, a fun filled hour or so of podcasting. Of course, that perhaps some of our listeners don't know that I have been recapping all nine seasons of Seinfeld in order with Akiva over on Post Show Recaps. And we began that journey, what, June 2014?
Yes, June 2014.
And we've been podcasting one episode a week, pretty much, very few stops along the way. And now here we are. Inside a year, we will be completed with that mission.
Yeah, we will be done in about September of 2017. We're 7/9 of the way done.
7/9 of the way there. And probably even more so than that, because maybe even less so, because the first and second season, there's not that many episodes.
Yeah, I don't know. I lost the ability to do math around season five.
Sean Falconer is going to call us out on that, because that's not exactly right. But anyway, we are very excited to do that. So figured that we should do something, commemorate getting to a huge episode of Seinfeld this week that has just been posted, the finale of season seven, one of the most controversial episodes of the series. Spoiler alert, two seasons to go. So if you're interested in the Seinfeld podcast, figured this could be a good time to hop on for the home stretch.
Yeah, it's sweeps week for the podcast.
All right. So here we are. I also was disappointed that I was not able to make this work out to get Akiva on the voicemails. For my money, Akiva, one of the best voicemail guests that there is out there.
One of the best.
One of the best.
Oh, that's so nice of you.
That's not good enough?
No, that's good. That's perfect.
Okay.
Not good enough to get on the season, but I guess pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, I'm trying. This is a weird season that it really has flown by. There's really only like, you know, four or five weeks of Survivor left. Survivor is over in less than a month. So it really did.
There's like 30 people left on the season. So I don't know how
they're going to work that all out, but that's not our issue to figure out. We need to figure out how we get from 12 down to one winner of Seinfeld Big Brother. So first off, Keeve, why Big Brother for Seinfeld?
I think like to commemorate, you know, we have this first ever Big Brother OTT. So like normally if we were doing this in November, it would, I think, automatically be a fake Survivor season because Big Brother's not on anybody's mind. But also I think the idea of having them all in a house, I think might be, you know, more Seinfeld-esque than, you know, the ridiculous idea of like Jerry being outside camping and quitting on day one.
Right. I mean, there is no better example of the show about nothing than Big Brother in the first place. And I mean, all it really is just sitting around and talking anyway. So that's basically at its heart, very close to Seinfeld.
Yeah. Watch the live feeds for 22 minutes. That's an episode.
Boom. Why are we watching it? Because it's on TV.
That's right. Well, it's not even on TV. It's on the internet, whatever.
It's too OTT. All right. So we're going to first cast our season of Big Brother and then sort of like role play out how it's going to all go. So, Keeve, we have to have the core four, correct? Is that just a given?
Yeah, I don't. It's not. It's like a returning Survivor season and like they're bringing back Boston Rob. And there's no discussion about it. Like, OK, let's go to number two.
How concerned are you about the core four just ganging up together and just being a movable object in this season?
I think we have four like liars and cheaters in the core four. So I don't think any of them trust each other. It could be one of these alliances that's like, you know, they make a big deal out of it, but by week two, it's completely evaporated and we forgot it existed.
Yeah. Okay. So this isn't like coming in like the season six group in the Big Brother All-Stars where it's like, oh, we got to get out all the season six people.
I mean, I'm sure it's on the other contestants' minds, but I just can't see this alliance of like, it could hold up, but you know, we've seen them cheat so many times, like in the contest. To me, it would be hard to imagine that this is just like the final four and they're going to stick together.
All right. So that's our first group of four. Who else is going to be cast on the list, Keeve?
All right. I think Newman has to be a lock.
Okay. Newman is cast. Now, are we trying to keep it where we have an even number men and women in the house?
No, I think we'll do it like Genius style where it's like, you know, 8-4 or 9-3 or 9-4 or something.
I
think it's not our fault that the show was predominantly men, but we're doing like 14 or 16 to get to 8 women, we'd have to include people who are on the show once.
Okay.
Literally.
Fair enough.
There are not 8 women who've been on the show 4 times.
So Newman is there. OK, really could be the main antagonist in this season.
Oh, totally. I mean, Newman would get cast on any season. I mean, they don't usually cast someone that old, but like the evil postman is like, maybe he's more of a Survivor type of guy than a Big Brother, but that's a lock in casting. You get the evil postman in there. You're not letting him get out of the room.
Newman currently number 12 in the Joker's Updates Survivor Big Brother rankings.
He'll start off low, but he'll probably move up the rankings as like people.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we have Newman. Where else are we going?
I think, we're definitely going to be predominantly men. We're male heavy. So I think we do have to have some diversity. And again, we didn't write the show originally. So we're limited by who's on the show. I think you can't not have Jackie Chiles on the season.
Okay. We need Jackie Chiles. So he's good. Is he going to tell people he's a lawyer?
So here's a question. Like, do they know each other? Is this what world is this? What's the canon? Is this like right? Are we picking up like right after season 9? Like they get sprung from jail and they're going straight into the house. Like, is it their best self that's coming into the Big Brother house? How does this work?
I think it's almost tricky to do it post finale. And I feel like that we should probably do it maybe right before the finale, in between the Puerto Rican Day parade and the finale.
Mm-hmm.
So
while people are like protesting.
Yeah, they didn't go to jail. Let's just pretend. And because I feel like that they really could have fostered some of these bonds after a year in jail.
Right. What if it's, well, not Elaine. She wasn't with them ostensibly, right?
How about
she was
this?
Probably in the womb.
This is an alternate universe where this is the Seinfeld finale. Like, what was the Ricky Gervais show where the finale was he went on Big Brother? Extras?
Oh, did he go on Big Brother in the Extras finale?
I think so.
Yeah, I like the Extras, but I don't remember. I couldn't tell you one thing about it now.
How about they went on Big Brother?
What if it's also like, it's sort of a composite. So it's like everything we learned about Newman through, you know, the nine seasons is sort of like, it's stuck in time. It's not like one particular point. It's just like everything we know about them, like smushed together.
Yeah, I think so. I think that everything is, you know, as we learned it on the show, it's not like some parallel universe where they never met each other and people don't have disagreements.
Right. Okay, so we're at six right now. The core four, Newman and Jackie Childs. I think we're going to limit it to 12, right? So we don't do this all night.
Right.
So now I think it's time to talk about the parents.
Okay.
I don't think we should cast all four parents, like George, no. Both of George's parents and both of Jerry's parents on the show. I think that'll leave us too, you know, too many old people. You don't want to skew too old, like CBS already. Their average age is like 72.
Right.
We don't want to bring that up with, you know, Morty Seinfeld and
you know, in fairness to Morty and Helen Seinfeld, I don't feel like that they're really bringing anything to the table. I feel like that I am definitely into Frank Costanza. I think that you won't even necessarily have an alliance between George and Frank. Like George might target Frank. Frank might target George right off the bat. Mm-hmm. So I think Frank is great. I think there's no sort of conflict of interest with two Costanza men being in the house. They're each going to be looking out for number one.
Yeah, but I think it will make good TV, definitely great feeds, if we bring in Mrs. Costanza also.
Okay, that's fine. And there's no alliance there that, you know, Frank could be targeting Estelle off the bat.
Oh, totally. You could have like, you know, two Costanzas up on the block with the third one putting them up there.
Okay, so Frank Costanza is in, Estelle Costanza is in, probably more so that we need more females in the house, but that's fine.
Okay, that's so now eight. We're at eight, right? We're knocking out the Seinfelds, but what about Uncle Leo?
Uncle Leo, I think you should probably have also, because I think that in lieu of Morty or Helen Seinfeld, have Uncle Leo. He's another antagonist for Jerry. And is somebody else who was a wild card in this game.
Keep in mind, it's a whole show of antagonists.
Yes, lots of antagonists.
There's a lot of heels and very few baby faces on this show.
Okay, let me ask you this one. What about Putty? Do we need a showmance in this season?
I think it's our only possibility for a showmance. I think Putty, I think it works because maybe you have like a awkward, you know, chemistry between Putty and Elaine versus Jerry and Elaine.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Putty's interesting enough that you got to go there.
Okay. So now we have Putty. That gives us up to 10.
Yeah. No. So let's talk about Elaine's three bosses.
Okay.
Because they all have a decent amount of screen time throughout the series.
Yes.
So we're not going to bring all three, but maybe we have room for one. So we have Pitt, Lippman, and Peterman.
Lippman to me is pretty uninteresting. I don't know what he would do as a character in this game. Mr. Pitt, I think maybe we could have some fun with it, but I think that as we discussed when we got to, what was that, season six, Mr. Pitt?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there really wasn't a lot of meat there with Mr. Pitt. I think we remember him having a bigger impact than he ultimately did. So I feel like if you're going to bring in an Elaine's boss, I think it needs to be Peterman.
Yeah, I think, but Peterman is worth casting, I think.
Yeah. He right now, he's probably towards the bottom of the roster for me, but I think right now he has a slot.
All right. So how about, we have nine, is Putty a lock?
I think Putty's a lock.
So we have 10 locks and Peterman's a probably, and we have another spot and a half available.
Yes. Let's talk about some other people. I mean, do they have to have made four appearances? Like, is the soup Nazi even in consideration?
Yeah, he's on my list. I think like we could bring one hit wonder in the house and I wouldn't have a problem with that. But, it, you know, do you bring the soup Nazi? Do you bring Jimmy? Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, that's like bringing Glenn back, right? We're bringing the soup Nazi.
You think so? It's like they weren't there for enough time.
I don't know.
By the way, the soup Nazi and Glenn have a lot in common, right? they spend more time than anyone else who was on the show talking about the show.
And Glenn loves Seinfeld.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, we could get him on our, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do like an alternate, you know, Glenn and Chester, like an alternate Seinfeld podcast.
All right. So let's just throw some names out there and then let's pick from the names rather than make the case for or against each person as we go through. So we have the soup Nazi. Mm-hmm. We have Banya.
Yeah. Banya, I think, is definitely an option. I just, I don't know if he's more of like a one joke, you know, like constantly asking people to make him food or something. Like, I don't know how, you know, how much gold we can mine from Banya, but he's an option.
Yeah. We have Crazy Joe Davola.
Yeah, I think Joe Davola would add some spice to the house. Not that it really needs so much. Like, we have some lunatics in here.
But I think he's, you know, too OTT. I don't think we could have him. I think he would just be expelled after the first week.
Yeah, he's more, he's like a Willy Hands type. I don't think he could make it through.
It would be good feeds for a week, but he would be
gone. He's great feeds. He's great feeds. I think Poppy also. I'm not sure. Like, is Poppy getting along with anybody? He'd be interesting TV, but he's locked for food, I think.
Yeah, and you don't want to sleep in the have-not bed after Poppy has been in it.
Oh, no. Can you imagine all those people who, like, screen cap everything? Like, you know, Poppy hasn't, like, you know.
Did you see Poppy in the hot tub?
Yeah. He was in the bathroom for 40 minutes, and he didn't wash his hands.
Yeah, and then he comes out. Sure.
I mean, he's an option. What about Tim Whatley?
Tim Whatley. The rock star dentist, Tim Whatley. I think it's interesting, only more so, I think, because it's Bryan Cranston, and I feel like that would give us some...
But is it Bryan Cranston? Now you're sort of like mixing two worlds, and you're confusing me.
Yes, I know I'm mixing two worlds, but that being said, like, I feel like this is, you know, really gonna, you know, create some interest here. I mean, we know it's Bryan Cranston.
Right, we know it's Bryan. I mean, but like, now it's like, is it, it's Michael Richards playing Kramer? That complicates things.
Not as much.
I'm so, I love, you want to put him in the maybe? I mean, do you want to put him in as the 11th
spot? Let's just take a look at our maybes, and then we'll go with, all right, Tim Whatley.
Okay. I think two more maybes.
Okay. Who you got?
What about Mickey?
Mickey. It's interesting. I mean, I think I'd rather have other people that are going to be a little bit more, I feel like that Mickey, we only really know what his relationship is like with Kramer.
Yeah, that's true. He's a lock. Like, he's like, Mickey might be Kramer's Victoria. You know, the Victoria to Kramer's Derek. Like, so loyal that, you know, it doesn't even know. And then, like, he'll be happy when he's booted third.
Yeah, some sort of a bro-alliance there between Kramer and Mickey that may not be able to be broken.
And then what about George Steinbrenner?
Boy, George Steinbrenner is very fun. I love George Steinbrenner on Seinfeld. I don't know in terms of, would he play Big Brother? All right, let's look at what we have, and I'll put him on the list.
But also, if we have Steinbrenner, you never see him. Like, the feeds, the camera's never on his face. Even if he gets voted out, it's like just Julie talking to him and you see the back of his head.
Okay, fine. All right, so that complicates things. We have now, if we have 10 with the core four, Newman, Jackie Childs, Frank Costanza, Estelle Costanza, Uncle Leo, and Putty. So we would need to take two out of Peterman, Steinbrenner, the Soup Nazi, Banya, Poppy, Tim Whatley, and Mickey.
Did we say no to Davola?
I think he's out. I think it's just going to be too crazy. Fine.
What are you thinking? They're all pretty even here.
Yeah, I mean, we have definitely an older cast with Frank Costanza, Estella Costanza, and Uncle Leo already.
I mean, we can't get too much younger. You know, who do you want? Like, one of Jerry's girlfriends who appears once?
No, not really. So
you want the kid from the non-fat yogurt who Jerry, you know, makes say the F word a lot?
Yes. What do you think? What do you want to do?
I think we should have one of Elaine's bosses. I think we go with Peterman as the 11th.
Okay.
And then the 12th, it's really wide open.
Yeah.
So you want to just cast 11?
We could go with 11, or we could go with the Soup Nazi, I feel like, as sort of a combustible character.
Yeah, we could do the Soup Nazi. I think over the Soup Nazi over Whatley.
Yeah, I feel like that, you know, I feel like I would just be like doing like, you know, I am the one who knocks, and it would just be like, if Walter White went into the house.
You mean if you were hypothetically on the season with these fake people, you would be saying that to the character, Tim Whatley, who's played by Bryan Cranston?
No, I think as one half of the god of this Big Brother universe, I think that's how I would just be playing it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are we like an omniscient voice in the house? Like, how does this work?
Yeah, we are basically somewhere between Alison Grodner and God.
Okay. Same thing.
Same thing. So basically the same.
All right, fine. So we got our 12. I think that's a solid cast. The truth is there's one person I didn't mention. Maybe we should consider.
Okay.
Because we don't have a lot of women, right? And we don't have any, you know, we have Elaine, we have Mrs. Costanza, and that's it. Should we have a third woman? What about Sue Ellen Mischke?
Sue Ellen Mischke.
I'd say live feeds gold.
Yeah, no, well, let's cast a well. Well, who do you want to get rid of?
I'd say you want to get rid of Peterman, Putty, or Whatley.
I think you need Putty. Well, I thought Whatley's not even it.
Wait, Whatley's not our 12th?
No, I thought Soup Nazi.
Oh, the Soup Nazi was our 12th.
Okay, you let's get rid of the Soup Nazi. He's going to be 2-1. Okay. Though. Okay. So, Sue Ellen Mishke.
Soup Nazi could be like, he could host one of the competitions.
Yeah, he'll come in like the Zingbot.
Yes. He'll just say really mean things, make people cry.
Yes. Yes. So, all right, Sue Ellen Mishke, because I like that sort of Elaine Putty, Sue Ellen Mishke sort of triangle.
Yeah, that could be good. I mean, she could cause drama, like, she could even, you know, cause conflict between the Costanzas.
Yeah.
You know, like, she's really, you know, she's a troublemaker.
Could get heated. Could get heated.
No self-awareness, which is exactly what you want from your Big Brother.
Perfect. All right, so here we are. What is this, Big Brother Upper West Side?
Fine.
I know that we'll get at least one email about correcting exactly what part of Manhattan we're talking about. But here we are. So...
But if it's Upper West Side, are they like in a tiny apartment? Is it like a 3-bedroom type thing and they're really like squished on top of each other?
Yeah, it's a good question. Does this take place in the actual Big Brother house or in some sort of version of the fifth floor of Jerry's apartment building?
Oh, they could really like combine Jerry's, Kramer's, and like the random people who show up once and then never seen again, like the lady who has Kramer babysitter kid. And just make it into like one giant, like, you know, like a apartment. That's not bad.
Okay.
I think it's on the Upper West Side.
Okay. And is Jerry's room or Jerry's apartment the HOH room?
That probably makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Kramer's apartment is the have not room.
Okay. That's good. All right. So here we are. We have our 12 people. Everybody just goes into the house at once.
Yeah. I don't think we need like types of six.
Okay. So here we are. And now we have to have our first, everybody sort of like introduces themselves. So champagne, big party, anything of note happening at this point?
I mean, most people know each other. So it's more interesting, like who doesn't know each other? Like I can't imagine Uncle Leo and Putty really, you know,
really like hitting
tight,
it off
a tight, you know, a tight bond, or, you know, Sue Ellen Mishke has certainly never met some of these people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big disadvantage for the people who are a little bit more, you know, of an outsider,
a little bit more of an outsider. How are the Costanzas adapting to life in the Big Brother house?
A lot of complaining, a lot of Frank talking about Korea and how this is worse than Korea. A lot of fighting. I'd say that they probably, like, Frank is the first person ever to ask to like stop yelling in confessionals.
Yeah. You're just talking too loud in the confessional room. Frank Costanza and Uncle Leo, what's the relationship like there? Are they best friends or mortal enemies?
I think that two crazy people usually, like, maybe it's a very like a brief strong start, and then it's like maybe that might be like the two biggest people gunning for each other. you know, week one.
What, is Uncle Leo trying to hit on Estelle Costanza, perhaps?
I think he thinks that Estelle's hitting on him.
Yeah. Okay, so Uncle Leo, is he flattered?
He's flattered, but then he, like, mentions it, and, you know, he says that she did a move.
Okay, well, that's no good. All right.
No good.
So Frank Costanza, that's his first target if he gets into power. How do you want to do the first HOH?
I mean, usually for Survivor, we flip a coin, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we have some sort of random number generator that we can use. I feel like that's always helpful in this. So basically, in the order that we announce people, that's everybody's number moving forward. And then we'll just come up with whatever the random number generator is. Does that work?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Wait, I think we hear Julie on the microphone, Rob.
Oh, what is she saying?
She has everyone come to the living room.
Okay, house guests gather in the living room. Okay, expect the unexpected.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there aren't that many twists this season because we've already, like, we've already sort of brought these fake people together and made them real people, and we're not sure if they're the actor or whatever. So I feel like it's twisty enough. And we have celebrities. This is this is essentially a returning player season, so you don't need that many twists. But Julie's got one up her sleeve.
We have one twist up our sleeves.
Get ready for a takeover!
What?
I think it's more like a resurrection.
Yes. Why? What's going on, Julie?
You know, she says, house guests, you thought this was a 12 player season, but it's really a 13 player season.
Okay.
And it's your unlucky number, George Costanza. And in walks from the, you know, rings the bell, walks in Susan Ross.
No.
Yes. Okay. So here's Susan. Now, Keeve, explain this to me, because if this is truly like the alternate finale of Seinfeld, hasn't Susan been dead for 2 years?
So I think, like I said, it's you know, if someone believes in, let's say, like reincarnation, I'm not sure how that would work. But it's not like people are coming back with their like dead bodies if they have like a bullet wound in their head that they still have the bullet wound. Right. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's like their best sort of like it's them at their like prime.
OK,
so this is like season four, Susan, maybe even
season four. Susan is one,
but with the knowledge of like she looks like season four, Susan, but with the knowledge of everything that happened up until her untimely demise.
OK, and so she knows that she had died.
Oh, yes. And she knows why, or she suspects why.
Okay. And she's going to be able to concentrate on a Big Brother game.
Yeah. I mean, she's a regular player, just like anybody else.
Okay. All right. So here is Susan back as the 13th cast member in this season.
Yeah. And George is he's sweating.
He's not happy.
No, he probably tries to quit like 10 times, but they don't leave him.
He's freaking out. He's having a meltdown. Who does he who consoles him?
Maybe Sue Ellen Mischke.
Swell and Mischke.
No, I think it makes his pair. I think maybe like Susan gets into a shouting match with Estelle or something like that. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you buy the more expensive invitations or something like that?
Well, how does he play it? Does he play it off like that he's happy to see her?
Of course. I mean, that's George. He plays it happy to see her. You know that, you know, the doctor said that you actually had like a heart condition, had nothing to do with the invitations. You know, a classic Costanza lie.
All right, so he has to act like he's very upset. All right, let's go ahead. Let's do the... Susan is a full player in this game. She's eligible for first HOH?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay, here we go. All right, so first HOH is... Okay? Actually, mm-hmm. Sue Ellen Mischke is our first HOH.
Mm. Okay? Yeah.
So, nominations. What do you got? I mean, is Sue Ellen Mischke going to... obviously, her target is Elaine, right?
I think so. She definitely tells Elaine that she's just the pawn.
Yes, but is she going to get backdoored? Is she going up on the block?
In Sue Ellen's mind, I think Elaine is definitely... I mean, who else here would be her target?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, I guess we got to talk this through. So if she wants Elaine to go home, what's the best way to do it? Like, does she have the votes right now to be able to...
Elaine is... the core four, it would be a tough... It would be, you know, similar to, say, this season where you had the four returning players... Where it, you know, would be sort of a tough task to get somebody out, you know, one of the big names out week one.
See, I feel like the typical rookie Big Brother mistake is you have your target and then you have somebody who's like aligned with you and that you feel like, oh, everybody in the house likes this person. I know that people wouldn't vote out this person because they're awesome. And then the house, like the person on who's the target ends up sort of mounting the resistance and then getting your friend voted out.
Yeah. So you have like the core four as that like power alliance that's trying to talk her out of doing this, even though it's clearly in her best interest.
Mm-hmm.
Because she could work with the other side of the house, like, you know, Susan. I feel like Susan has to be her key ally coming in.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like that it's just like shots fired and not even getting cute with the back door. I think she puts up like Elaine and Jerry right off the bat.
Oh, I no one ever has the guts to put up like the two vets or in this case, the core four. I can't imagine her. I think she wants Jerry all to herself. There's no way she puts up Jerry week one.
But I feel like that she would have to put up a Elaine ally, no?
Yeah, but you're thinking like Rob. You're not thinking like Sue Ellen Mischke would. I feel like Sue Ellen Mischke would make the wrong move here.
Okay, so you think that she would then put up somebody who was her friend who wasn't going to go out under any circumstance because everybody likes them so much?
Yeah, or she'd put up like somebody poor because she, you know, hates poor people.
Does she hate poor people?
I mean, she's like a fancy lady. I could only assume.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think that she would do?
I mean, it's tough. Does she put up like, does Jerry, she tries to put up Jerry. Jerry like cries to her. Could he sell her on putting up Uncle Leo instead of her?
Elaine and Uncle Leo on the block. Wouldn't the house just all vote to go to Uncle Leo, or would he try to sell her on the fact like, oh no, he's nice?
I think the house would vote for Uncle Leo, but I'm not sure, like, Sue Ellen Mischke is such a savvy player.
Okay, if you say so, let's just go with that. And then so Elaine and Uncle Leo are up on the block here in week one. So are you ready for the, I guess we don't know who's going to play in the power of veto competition. It's going to be Elaine.
Are we really going to do this every time?
Well, I think what we should do is just revert to sort of like Big Brother 4 rules and just use the random number generator, because I think it'd be too much work to figure out then who got the random draw to be in the veto competition. So I could just give you the next random number.
Sure.
Okay. You know, this is, I mean, this really does skew things to have 13 people playing in the veto, but let's see what happens. So here is our next random number, and it is number 10, which is Putty. Putty wins the veto here in week one. You got to think he's going to take Elaine off the block, right?
Yeah, I think Putty's got to take Elaine off the block.
All right, so Putty takes down Elaine, and now Sue Ellen Mischke is forced to put up a renom. And what does she do?
I mean, do you think she puts up Jerry here?
I think so. I mean, if we're going to say that she is going to probably at least figure it out, if Jerry sort of duped her into putting Uncle Leo up on the block, I think it's like, oh, okay, so fine. Elaine is coming down. Why don't you take her place, Jerry?
Yeah, I think she definitely puts up Jerry here.
Okay. So Jerry and Uncle Leo sit up on the block. Boy, I bet these would be some good speeches.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It would be Uncle Leo's would go on for 20 minutes. They'd have to go to commercial.
And Jerry would just destroy Uncle Leo. It's like, look at him. Look at him. He's disgusting. Do you want to live with him for the next 90 days?
Or he'd just do like a 3-minute stand up bit.
Okay.
What's the deal with being a have not?
Yeah. All right. So we are going to have now 10 votes. And Sue Ellen Mischke will not vote as the HOH. Jerry will not vote. And Uncle Leo will not vote. So is there anybody here that would vote for Uncle Leo to stay?
Newman is definitely voting Jerry out.
Okay. So by a vote of 9-1, Uncle Leo is the first player evicted from Seinfeld Big Brother. And I think that the anti-Semitism charges will be flying.
Oh, yeah. He's going to call Julie an anti-Semite.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, everyone. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Sure. Oh, boy.
I would say that would be a great
interviews for Uncle Leo.
I think that would be a good spot for you the next day.
Yeah.
With Uncle Leo. I feel like that would be an all-time classic and exit interview on the podcast.
Uncle Leo, are you there? Let me tell you that the anti-Semitism in this house was out of control. It was OTT. Uncle Leo, come on. All right. So, okay, so that changes things up a bit here. Now we have 12 house guests. Sue Ellen Mischke cannot be the HOH as we head into week two of Seinfeld Big Brother. And now let's go back to the random number generator, and we have our new HOH. And in true Big Brother fashion, as always seems to happen, the person that survives the block in week one becomes the next HOH. And Jerry is your new HOH, Keeve.
Oh, nice. He gets to sleep in his own bedroom.
And now this is interesting stuff going on now, because now where does Jerry want to go? Does he want revenge on Sue Ellen Mischke after things sort of fell apart last week? I imagine that George is probably asking him to do a solid and put Susan on the block.
Or is George asking to put his parents on the block?
Well, maybe, is George starting to work his way back in with Susan? I kind of feel like it was awkward at first, but maybe, you know, that this is another showmance.
Yeah, I think there might have been a pool date at some point. There's like endless, you know, first few weeks, especially before the cameras turn on.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
before
maybe
the
there's a hot
start.
Tub in Kramer's apartment, but no pool.
That's right. Oh, okay, fine. I forgot. There's like a pool on the top floor that we never heard about in the building.
Yeah, usually they have that in Manhattan.
Only in like fancy buildings. I'm trying to think. Who would Jerry put up here? I think Sue Ellen goes up if nothing. You know, he's got at least one locked in, you know, person that he needs to put up. There's no reason not to put up Sue Ellen,
okay,
even if that's not his target.
Okay, Sue Ellen Mischke, and who else?
And so now, does like the problem is that George has so many ties. He's got ties to Susan, and he's got two parents in the house.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, do you try and break those up? But it's a little early for that, right?
There's no scenario where Jerry doesn't put Newman up on the block.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I think it has to be Newman and Sue Ellen Mischke.
Okay.
And he tells Sue Ellen Mischke that she's the pawn, and I think that's true.
Yeah. And, you know, he's probably pretty hard on Newman in his nomination speech.
Oh, yeah. He makes a bunch of fat jokes.
It's terrible.
Yeah. The only thing is that Kramer's like begging him not to, you know, not to vote at Newman. Oh, he promises he'll work with you.
Yeah. Well, it's too late. Newman's up on the block and let's use have our veto competition. And this week, the veto goes to number 9, which is now Putty. Can you believe it? The veto champ. He's won back to back vetoes. Here is Putty. And now will Putty use the power of veto to save either Sue Ellen Mischke or Newman?
Well, he's definitely not saving Newman.
No.
Now, Sue Ellen goes to Elaine, I think, and sort of tries to sweet talk Elaine into convincing Putty to take Sue Ellen off the block.
No way. That Sue Ellen Mischke is going right to the source with Putty.
Oh, yeah,
she is
true.
Wearing very promiscuous outfits now in the Big Brother house.
Yeah. Listen, that's why they cast her. I think, does it work, though? I'm not sure if it works.
I think it works.
Hmm.
And then Elaine is just like losing her mind and saying like, Putty, what did you do? Why did you do that for? And he's just like, I don't know.
Yeah. I think Elaine breaks up with him for the first of like six times this season.
So Sue Ellen Mischke is coming down off the block. Putty and Elaine are breaking up and so Jerry has to name a replacement.
I mean, I think he goes safe here and he goes to Peterman and he says, like, really, you're one of my top allies, but I just need you as a pawn. Newman is definitely going home.
OK, so Peterman goes up as a pawn. So we're in a similar situation to last week where Uncle Leo went home. We have 9 votes to evict this week. So does anybody vote to keep Newman?
I mean, I think Kramer's loyalties lie with Newman.
Okay, Kramer's loyalties lie with Newman, but is it, again, by a 8-1 margin?
I could Newman maybe flip one of the Costanzas? Possible, but there's no way he wins. So let's say 8-1, he's out.
Okay, so Newman is the second first boy. We're losing our antagonists quickly in Leo and Newman. Bad social games on both of them.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that would be, you know, like, Leo is a clear first boot. You know, like there's only so much, like some of these people are, you know, it's great to have him for a week or two, but it's a little bit like Jose, like, you know, could you really stand like an entire season of Newman in the house?
That's a lot. It's a lot to deal
like,
with.
Could people really live with him and like they're living in the same house for a few months?
Yes. It's a lot to handle. Okay. All right. So, all right. Week 2 is in the books. Do you want to just talk about the alliances real quick? So you have to imagine that the core 4 is an alliance if you're going to be doing an alliance charge. But Kramer, he's got his own things going on right now. I mean, I feel like that Kramer and Frank Costanza is a natural alliance.
Yeah, and he's Jackie Child's number one also.
Mm-hmm. Right. So is
and
Frank
Kramer
Costanza,
and Frank, Kramer and Frank, yeah, like have an, or I'd say an on and off relationship, but let's say right now it's on.
I think that probably, I mean, who else is Frank working with?
Yeah, not his wife, so.
Probably not. I mean, who's Estelle working with? Is she just sort of like a loner off on her own? Is she?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
She has not gotten a confessional in like 4 weeks, Estelle.
Yeah. Okay. So she's just sort of there. She's a little bit like the Big Brother 12 Kathy.
There's a lot of crying, though. I think she does like a lot of crying in the house.
A lot of crying. Does Susan have any irons in the fire besides George?
I don't see anybody here. Like, I think Susan and Sue Ellen Mischke have like, an alliance that really hasn't been tested. Like that hasn't been tested yet, but I think they're probably each other's number one. Like they spend time together.
Yeah. But basically Sue Ellen Mischke doesn't hit on George. Susan doesn't have any issue with her. She thinks she's also, she's sort of like also high class, that she's also an heiress in some ways.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah. Yeah. They both grew up rich. They could probably, have what to talk about. To me, though, I think everyone wants to bring Sue Ellen Mischke to the end.
Yeah.
Because she's got no social game. She's not likable. Everyone knows she has money, so you're not going to give her more.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's like that. She's really like the, you know, she's the goat of the season right now.
Now, if Elaine and Putty have broken up, is Sue Ellen Mischke and Putty starting to be a thing?
I think she moves in on Putty and then Elaine and Putty start for round number 2 of going back out.
And where's Peterman in all this?
I mean, it's tough. I think Peterman and Frank become fast friends.
Yes.
And him, Frank, and Kramer maybe have some crazy business ideas.
So you think Kramer, Peterman, Frank Costanza, Jackie Chiles is sort of like this brigade that's happening behind the scenes?
Yes. Yeah, that's okay. A bro alliance, I think. Yeah.
Okay. And Kramer is right in the middle of everything.
Yeah. Kramer's got allies. You know, he's got like 50 outs here, I think.
Up the yin yang.
That's right. I think Putty thinks he's in this alliance, but he's really the fifth wheel.
Okay. All right. So let's go to our week three HOH, down to only 11 people in the house. And here we go. And that is number 9. Jay Peterman is the new HOH. Keeve,
what was the competition?
Some sort of memory game. He's very good memory.
That's right. It was, yes, like, remember these, you know, specific, like,
right,
you know,
the details
coats
in the pictures and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's what he won. All right. So Peterman, now we've talked about this brigade that's forming between Peterman, Kramer, Frank Costanza, maybe Putty is also in the mix. So Jackie Chiles is there too. So you got to figure that all those guys are probably safe.
Yeah, I think I don't know who Peterman's like biggest target would be here.
I have to think that he doesn't have too many connections with Jerry and George. He also probably remembers that George killed his mom. So I feel like that George is going on the block this week.
Yeah, I think George is definitely on the block. I think once you're putting George, I think Mrs. Costanza might go. And I think Frank would sign off on Estelle going off on the block.
Oh, wow. So George and Estelle on the block together. Have we ever had this before in Big Brother history that a son and mother are on the block at the same time?
I could pretty much guarantee you we have not had a son and mother.
Yes, she's crying. She's very upset that George is on the block, too. So, you know, tears are everywhere.
Right. She's like, just vote me out. Not my Georgie.
Yes. Oh, she's falling on the sword for George.
Oh, totally.
And George's like, listen to her. Listen to her. Okay. Let's do our power veto competition. Putty has two vetoes in a row this season. He will
becoming
not
a real threat.
The veto. Oh, boy, Keith. Could this get any more interesting? The winner of the veto is now number 6 on my listing. That's Frank Costanza. His son and wife are on the block.
Oh, that's
will
incredible.
He use the power of veto to save one of them?
Oh, really? One of the great moments in the history of the show. If that
yes.
happens.
Yes.
I think he sort of splits the baby and leaves them both up on the block.
I choose not to use the power of veto.
That's right.
Slams the box. Stella is screaming. George is yelling.
Yeah. Honestly, this would be like, if we could recreate this, I know, you know, I don't know if the show is really rigged, but if they could recreate this, that, you know, a son and a mother on the block and the dad keeping them both on the block, that blows.
He doesn't use the veto. You
know, it blows Sierra voting Laura out of the water.
Okay, so Frank Costanza does not use the power of veto. And now here is our vote. Now, is the power in the house? Do people want to take a shot at the core four here? Because as we are going through this, I mean, they're perceived to be very strong, but they don't really have a lot of power.
They don't have a lot of power. They have a lot of ties. Like everyone in the core four, for obvious reasons, has close ties, although Jerry's close ties are pretty much gone.
Mm-hmm.
Kramer's got his tentacles everywhere. George, you know, has Susan, Frank, and Estelle. Elaine has Putty.
Yes.
And she knows Sue Ellen the best coming into the game. So they don't have power, but they have a lot of connections.
Yeah. So does the house make a power play and vote out George, or do they vote out Estelle, who is probably far more infuriating to live with?
I think it's just impossible to live with Estelle. No one wants to go. If you keep her around, you have to go to jury with her, basically.
Yeah, they want to get rid of her before the jury.
Yeah, I think okay. You have to. Are we doing 7-person jury? I think we should.
Yeah, probably just to keep it simple. So in terms of what there was 11 people there, what is this, 8 votes? Did she get a vote to stay or unanimous?
I think, well, Frank has a vote. right? He just won the veto. He's not the HOH. So yes. I think Frank throws her a pity vote.
A pity vote. Okay, so 7-1.
Or maybe he doesn't, and then they yell at each other. Oh, and Susan doesn't. Susan votes for Estelle to stay. Susan votes George out.
Oh, really? I feel like that there's sort of been a little bit of some reconciliation.
Yeah, I don't know where they're at. Maybe, how about...
I think that she sells to Sewell and Mishki that they can work with George, that they can still get him to do stuff.
Okay, fine, but Kramer throws a hinky vote out there.
Oh, a hinky vote, and nobody knows who it is. And then maybe Frank Costanza gets accused of it, and then he's, like, going nuts that he didn't do it.
Yeah, as she leaves, and she, like, says, don't even bother coming home to Frank.
Yes, okay. All right, so here we are. We are down to the final 10. All right, Keith?
Yeah, so last spot before jury.
Last spot before jury. Jerry George, Elaine Kramer, Jackie Childs, Frank Costanza, Noah Stell, okay, Putty, Peterman, Sue Ellen Mishki, and Susan Ross.
I think this is, if I was actually on a season, if I didn't think I was going to win, I think this is where you want to get voted off.
Right
before
the jury?
Before the jury. Yeah, yeah, who wants to sit in that ridiculous jury house for 2 months?
I mean, why? What else do you have to do?
I mean, they wouldn't let me podcast from the jury. We'd have to cancel the podcast for 2 months.
That's right. That's right. So, I don't know. What, you need to go home and you miss your family too much? Is that it?
No. I mean, but it's just that the jury house does not look fun.
Yeah, I think it's fun. My whole life is I wish I had nothing to do all day.
Here's the thing. I wish that too, but like, oh, I would just, you know, I would love to like spend the day on the internet and, right, you know, like binging shows. You can't do that there. I you know, you'd go crazy without the technology.
I thought they don't let you watch Netflix in the jury.
They might like give you DVDs. I think they have to be careful with anything that's like internet compatible. The problem is also like some of these people, like, and this is a shorter season, but like they, like last season in Big Brother, like some of those people were in the jury house for like 2 months.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not kill yourself? That's insane.
That's fair. That's fair. All right, so the fourth HOH this season, this is going to be number 4, Kramer's HOH, Keeve.
Yeah, oh yeah, he'll love being in the HOH room. He's like a classic HOH guy. He'll cry when he gets that letter from Babs.
Yes, and HOH-itis, perhaps, could be striking here with Kramer.
Well, what does that mean? You think he's putting up a core four member? That would be crazy.
I mean, so he's the person with ties to almost everybody in the game. Ties with the core four, ties with Jackie Childs, ties with Frank Costanza, ties not so much with Putty, but with Peterman, and Putty is sort of like the fifth wheel. I got to think that maybe the only group in this game that Kramer doesn't have ties with, Sue Ellen Mishki and Susan.
Well, Susan, he doesn't even remember her name right before she dies.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think Susan is a lock. Susan, he's got no ties to. He barely
plus,
knows
he
who she is.
He threw up on her. He burned down the cabin. He's been really terrible to her.
Kind of amazing that he doesn't remember her name after all those things. But that's probably not a mistake by the writers. And that's probably something that really happened.
Okay.
I think, yeah, so Susan is a lock. And then do you think Sue Ellen Mishki, is he going? You could convince Kramer to go all boys here, you know, to go with the bros and put the two ladies on the block.
Yeah. I mean, it's just that strategically, nothing else really makes sense. I mean, unless you're going to say like he's going to like take a shot at George or something like that.
Right. The only floater is Peterman, who has a tenuous connection to Elaine, not as strong as Putty's.
But he's in Kramer's alliance.
Yeah.
They need a name for this alliance.
A name for the guy's alliance?
Yeah. What do you think of the bros?
What about the man's ears?
Yes. I mean, that's going to be like an argument between Kramer and Frank Costanza.
Right. So I think just every time they have a meeting, they, you know, one insists on calling it the bros and the other one calls it the man's ears, and they just fight the whole time and don't discuss any strategy.
Yes. Perfect.
But then the fifth, like the four, that's the four man alliance. The fifth man with Putty, they call their alliance the mechanics because Putty's a mechanic. He doesn't
realize make
not,
him feel like
he's not in the, he's not in the four.
Yeah. Okay. So then do you like these nominations for Kramer, Susan and Sue Ellen Mishki?
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of options. So I think that's, you know, that's definitely a good choice. I do think they're, you know, Sue Ellen's definitely going to try and sweet talk Kramer into taking him off the block. But I think that's the right way to go at first, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So the veto goes to, wow, Kramer. What a week. What a week for Kramer. HOH and the veto. So much power in the house. Sue Ellen Mishki might try to get Kramer to take her off the block, but will it work?
I think, first of all, Kramer's got to be worried. You know, he's probably him and Putty are like the most athletic guys in the house. I think he's got to be there, and they've won all these HOH and veto competitions. They both have to really be worried about the targets on their
two
block.
Comp wins apiece.
I just don't think he could. It's his two noms. I don't think he could justify taking either of them off.
Yeah,
I think you got to leave Susan. There's just no one else to put up. I think you leave Susan and Sue Ellen on, unless you want to take a big swing at at
backdooring
like
somebody.
Want to break up the Costanzas and backdoor George or Frank. I just don't see there's anything to do.
I think he's going to leave these nominations alone.
Yeah, I agree. Susan and Sue Ellen, someone's going home.
Okay, so let's talk through the vote. All right, I think Elaine has got to be rallying people to get Sue Ellen Mischke out of the house, right?
The thing is that Susan is on the Costanza side. I just, even though it's like the enemy you know versus the one you don't, I think she's going to, even though she hates Sue Ellen, she's, hoping to like maybe stab her in the back of the final three.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I'm Elaine, I think I'm voting for Susan.
What does George want to do? Does he want Susan out of the game?
I think if George has the vote,
she's
going to
make jury
Susan.
If she gets passed this week.
Yeah, it's a problem. I think if he has the votes, then George will vote out Susan. He's not going to do it recklessly.
Yes.
So let's see what everyone else, and we'll get back to George at the end.
So a little bit of a battle there between George and Elaine, perhaps. What does Kramer want to have happen?
I think that Kramer is leading the house to vote out Susan, who we really, he has so many, there's no way Susan's voting for Kramer at the end of the season. So
yeah, she won't. Yeah. It's a personal vendetta.
She cherishes the cabin too much.
Jackie Childs, I feel like that he has a relationship with Sue Ellen Mischke. Frank Costanza, he doesn't like the Rosses. I feel like he's piling on. Putty, I don't think he cares, but he does like Sue Ellen Mischke. Peterman, I think like that he's probably more along the same lines as Sue Ellen Mischke. So, yeah, I think these votes went against Susan.
So now does George throw in, even without George, you're saying Susan's out?
I think so.
So does George throw in the vote, or does he pretend like I tried to save you, honey?
Even if Jerry and George and Elaine all voted against Sue Ellen Mischke, I just don't think that they have enough votes.
All right. Bye-bye, Susan.
Yeah.
Again.
So sad. Sad story.
Well, now, where does she go to?
You mean, does she go back to the ether?
Right. Or does she go home? Does she go home, or is she just like, is that it? Like evaporate?
That's a question that's beyond me, Keev.
Okay. That's a whole nother podcast.
It's the alternate side. Yeah. All right. So here we are. Everybody is making the jury now. We're at the final nine of Seinfeld Big Brother. And now we have our next HOH. And of course, Kramer is ineligible. He cannot compete in this HOH competition. And so this week, Frank Costanza is the HOH.
I have to say, I think the non-core four look up right now and realize that this is their last crack at having the numbers. They realize like, oh, we had an 8-4 advantage. It's down to 5-4 against Jerry, Elaine, George, and Kramer.
Yeah, you got to look at it. I mean, if this is the week for Kramer to flip, Jackie Childs is there, Frank Costanza is there, Putty is there, Peterman is there. You got to figure that this could be their time to take a swing. And Frank Costanza in power as one part of the bros / man's ears, that he has a real shot to take a crack at the core four.
So they're not picking George, obviously. So which two out of the three are they going for?
Well, he doesn't like Elaine.
No, I think Elaine's a lock.
Elaine is on the block. And then does he put George on the block?
No, I don't think he puts his own son. He likes Kramer. I think he puts Jerry up.
Yeah, well, he's not going to. I think that Kramer, this is the week he is waiting for Kramer to flip.
Yeah, I think he's got Kramer. There's no way he's putting up his son. Yeah, I think Jerry and Elaine.
I mean, I think this is where Frank Costanza tells Kramer, you're either in or you're out.
Yeah, that's right. And I think Kramer's in.
He's in. You think he's in with the core four, or he's in with the bros?
With the bros this week. He's going to be a floater. Okay. / man's ears.
Okay. All right. So Elaine and Jerry up on the block sitting together. Boy, this has really gone disastrous for the core four so far. I mean, this is they almost have no power in the house. They haven't been voted out, but this has not gone well.
It hasn't gone well. But, if you had said at the beginning of the season, hey, nine people left, all four of you will be here. They would have signed up for that.
They would have, but they're not in a great spot right now heading into the week five veto.
And you got to win those HOHs.
Yeah, they couldn't win an HOH. You know, I don't want to write the obituary yet, but this is now the veto goes to Jay Peterman, who I do not believe will use the veto. Save a lane. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a key ally right now for Mr. Costanza. There's no way he's using it.
That'd be a bad look for him also. So here we go. Unless they were going to like backdoor George, but they couldn't get Frank Costanza.
Well, Elaine definitely pitches Peterman on saving her, but who would he put up? Does he put up Kramer?
Oh, no, he's part of the bros.
I know, but Elaine could. Yeah, I guess. So Sue Ellen. You're right.
Frank Costanza has to name the replacement nomination.
You're right. You're right. I think I think Frank convinces him to leave him as is.
OK, so we leave the nominations as is. Jerry or Elaine is going home. All right. It's a live voting. George Costanza votes to evict Elaine.
Yeah. George votes to evict. No. Yeah. George votes to evict Elaine.
Kramer votes to evict.
I think Elaine.
Out of Elaine. Then we have Jackie Childs is going to vote to evict who?
Definitely Jerry.
Jerry.
I think so.
But I feel like that we got to make sure that the bros slash Manziers, like they're probably going to vote the same way. They're going to be
on
the same
page.
You're
probably right.
So what are they going to do? What do they want to do? Do they want to vote out Elaine or they want to vote out Jerry?
Well, here's the problem. They can vote out Jerry, who has no real ally left in the house outside of the core four, without consequence. I think they want to vote out Elaine.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is then you're sort of tipping Putty off that he's sort of the fifth wheel to this alliance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're hurting Putty, but you say, and he's pleading like, hey, I think we should get rid of Jerry.
Obviously. Cause Putty wants Elaine to stay. I think that what makes sense is to vote at Elaine. Is it worth damaging your, you know, potentially making the house a 4-4 split?
Yeah.
By voting out Elaine and moving Putty over to the Jerry, George, and what's it called? You know, the side with whoever stays plus George and Sue Ellen.
The problem here is, you know, there's more of a chance of Putty reuniting with Elaine, but I think there's almost no chance of Putty going with Jerry and George after Elaine gets voted out. Like Elaine is like the glue. Putty may not like it, but where is he going?
That's true. I think you're right. And I think Mr. Costanza doesn't really care for Elaine.
He does. I don't care for her. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I could see him wanting to vote out Elaine and then also probably being very salty in his message to the house guests.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have some epic goodbye messages this season. Yeah. Not a lot of jury management going on with these clowns.
No. I think Elaine gets voted out here and she becomes the first member of the jury.
Bye-bye, Lainey.
Oh, my God. Okay. Elaine is gone. The queen is dead. And now we are down to the only woman left in the house, Sue Ellen Mischke. Really worst case scenario for Elaine.
Right. Best case for Sue Ellen. I think, are there buybacks this season?
No. We don't have time for that.
That's right.
Okay.
But I do think this is, we got a double eviction coming up this coming week.
Yes. Okay. So this is the week of the double eviction.
I think so. Eight people left. That makes sense, right?
Yes. Eight people left. Double eviction week. All right. So I don't know how much faster we can go in the double eviction week, but I guess we'll just try to speed it up. So maybe we won't have to think things through as much. They'll just boom, boom, boom. Okay.
Yeah.
So week six and first part of the double eviction that we have, our HOH is now going to be Kramer is HOH once again. And now we have where Jerry and George are really feeling like they are in hot water, probably going to the K-man like, hey, you're not going to put us up on the block, right?
Yeah. And this is probably best case scenario as the fake producers, because Kramer has so many ties. He's probably was our ideal person to win HOH. I mean, there's almost no one who he won't absolutely infuriate by putting up.
Right. And really stupid move by Kramer to win HOH here.
Insane. Cause this is the third comp he's won. I think, he's the biggest dude. Nothing good can really come from winning this HOH. He should have thrown it. I think he tries to throw it, but he wins it while trying to throw it.
And so here he is. He's the HOH. I feel like Sue Ellen Mishke is a given. And now I think we need a pawn to sit next to Sue Ellen Mishke. I think he can sell to people. Sue Ellen Mishke is the target.
Yes. But is she really? But he's definitely selling that.
Mm-hmm. So who does he get to sit up on the block as a pawn? I think that probably he would want to get Putty to be a pawn.
Yeah. Yeah. Putty, the fifth wheel, definitely the dumbest person left. I think Putty is the clear pawn here.
But do the bros / Manziers see through this? Like, because I feel like that those guys, Jackie Childs, Frank Costanza, Peterman, I feel like that they have to be gunning for Jerry and George.
Yeah, but Kramer still sort of, he's playing both sides, but that's the way Kramer would play it, right?
I feel like that there's got to be some friction that Jerry's not going up on the block. I mean, he's on the block last week.
There's definitely friction, but I think Kramer still does this.
Oh, there's friction, baby. That pulp can fly.
I thought you were going to say whatever.
Okay.
It's because of the underwear situation. Yes. I think Kramer, no doubt. Putty, Sue Ellen, who's winning this veto?
Okay. All right. So we get to our veto and it is Kramer again. Kramer wins the veto during his HOH for the second time.
Oh, that fourth comp win. Yeah. Not a great move at this point. He's building his case, but I'm not sure he's going to be there at the end.
Beast mode Kramer.
That's right.
All right. So got to think he's going to leave these nominations the same, right?
Oh, yeah.
So here we go. Five people will vote. Only takes three votes to evict now at the final eight. So Jerry votes to evict who?
I think Jerry and George definitely vote to evict Putty.
Putty? To weaken their numbers.
Yeah, to weaken the numbers of the bros, which at this point they know about the alliance. I mean, they have a lot of big mouths in this house, like Kramer, that have let, you know, everyone knows what's going on here. There's no secrets.
Yeah, I feel like Jerry and George, like they need to start working with Sue Ellen Mishke.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. They vote to evict Putty. The problem is, does the unbreakable alliance of Jackie, Frank, and Peterman, is there someone you could crack here? Because they know Putty's the fifth wheel. It's not a bad time to get him out. But then does it really become like Jerry, Kramer, George and Sue Ellen versus, I don't know, like they could be outnumbered here.
Why would Jackie, Frank Costanza or Peterman vote out Putty? Doesn't make any sense.
Right. But what if Frank is sort of swayed by his son?
Boy, to get rid of Putty, maybe is there something that he could tell him about Putty that's going to bother him?
But the move?
The move, I mean, he did take Jerry's move, and I know Frank doesn't like people who take moves, but that might just, make him mad at Kramer again, because Kramer was the person who tried his move.
Yeah, you're right. We're trying to, it's what everyone's rooting for the blind side, but I think you're right. I think
it's not rigged. We have to play it out how it's playing out.
Yeah, I agree. It's we're just telling you what happened. We're not actually.
Okay.
I think you're right. Are we going to get fake angry emails about this pretend Seinfeld Big Brother season that is now seven men and no women left?
No, we're going to get real angry emails.
But I mean, let's assume nobody's still listening. And let's
fair assumption. Very safe. All right. So Sue Ellen Mishke, she is gone now at the final seven in part one of the double elimination. Okay. So double eviction episode. All right. So right after that, boom, Sue Ellen Mishke, her photo is black and white. And right after that, we go into our HOH, house guests go into the backyard. And now we have our new HOH, which is Peterman.
By the way, we totally blew like Elaine's house photo having like the nipple showing.
Oh,
we blew
yes.
That show completely.
Not too late.
No, let's just re-record everything.
All right. Peterman is here. Double eviction. You probably typically want to take a big shot here in the double eviction. I can't see any other scenario than Jerry and George going up on the block. Have a seat, guys.
Hondo. Yeah, I think Jerry and George, there's no, you can try and convince him. Like if you were Putty, you can try and convince him to take a shot at Kramer, who has, basically is allied with every single person in the house. But I don't think you have enough time during a double eviction.
All right. Jerry and George sit on the block during the double eviction and they go back out into the backyard, have to go find clown shoes, and Kramer wins the veto.
Now, to be fair, that live double eviction, like searching through the balls veto,
yes,
is the type of thing that Kramer would win.
Yes, yes. He's very good in the physical competition. So here he is. Kramer has the veto. Would he, could he, Keeve, potentially keep one of his allies? I mean, inside the power structure of the bros slash man's ear of Kramer, Jackie Chiles, Frank Costanza, Putty, Peterman, where is Kramer in that group of five?
I mean, I think he's Jackie Chiles' number one. I think he's Peterman's number one. And I think he's Frank's number one.
Okay.
So I think he's like the Derek right now, where he's everybody's number one. And I'm not sure they realize that or not. I think Kramer is literally, you know, other than Jerry and George, where maybe he's their number two because they're each other's number one. He's literally every single person's left number one, except for Putty.
But could those guys talk? I mean, isn't Kramer in sort of the Pauly Calafiore spot where now he's winning a lot of competitions? Like, is Jackie Chiles not going to talk with Frank Costanza? Is Jackie Chiles not talking to Peterman about what they're doing? Like, isn't it possible that people are going to start comparing notes on Kramer? I mean, he is way out in front. He's playing a really big game right now. He's not Derek.
No, but I you're right. But I think right now, I'm not sure if that's blowing up on him until after he's no longer HOH.
Okay. All right. So he does not use the veto.
Or veto holder maker. Yeah.
Right?
No, I don't think, I just don't, he could take Jerry or George off the block. It's a real Sophie's choice. And then who's going up? Putty, but they're not going home. So it's not worth it.
All right. So Kramer decides not to use the veto. He will break a tie here with seven people left in the house if it comes down to it. For the bros slash man's ears, what do they want to do? They got to make a vote here. Do they vote out Frank's son? Do they vote out Jerry?
I mean, Frank is obviously pitching them to vote out Jerry. I just think that why would you leave a father son in the house with six people left?
Frank's not going to like
that. We've seen it done. We've seen it done before. We saw it done. There were six people left. The twins were left last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Do they listen to Frank?
Are you upsetting Frank? Like, does Frank even care? Are you upsetting Frank enough? I think Frank convinces them to vote out Jerry.
Okay. All right. So if that's the case, then I feel like by a vote of 4-0, Jerry is evicted from the Big Brother.
Yeah, maybe Kramer throws him a pity vote.
Yeah.
But yeah, 3-1.
All right, Keeve. Final six, baby.
Yeah, let's run down who's still left.
All right. Our final six right now. What a run it's been for the bros slash man's ears. Their whole alliance gets here intact. Kramer, Jackie Chiles, Frank Costanza, Peterman, and fifth wheel Putty, and George Costanza left. I think it might have been a mistake for the bros to keep George over Jerry, because I feel like that George is going to be better at playing along with the people he doesn't like, where Jerry, I think, would just show disdain for the people he doesn't like.
Well, and you still have the father-son thing. Wasn't I just pitching that they really should have kept Jerry and gotten rid of George?
Yeah, but I think that they probably, there was more hard feelings towards Jerry.
And again, this bros alliance, it's not really the brains alliance. Like, they're, you know, they're doing a good job of sticking together, but I don't know about their strategic thinking.
I mean, do you think, is George making the play to Frank at this point? Like, Dad, come on, we can do this. We can come together. They don't let you call the alliance what you want to call it.
I think he is. The problem is you need a third just to really, like, what are they going to do? Like, let's see if they win this HOH. But if they don't, I just can't see a scenario where George, you know, can keep himself off the block. He might be going up with Frank if, you know, Putty or Kramer wins. Well, maybe not Kramer, if Putty or Jackie Chiles wins HOH.
Mm-hmm. I mean, who is Frank closest with? I mean, could George pull Kramer with Frank Costanza? I mean, I feel like that probably a lot of the friction here is probably between Frank Costanza and Kramer.
He definitely could.
Because you got to think that Jackie Chiles is in Kramer's ear all the time of, got to get rid of Frank Costanza.
I mean, clearly that has to be, like, you think even more than George, Frank is the guy to go if Jackie and, you know, we're putty. Peterman's not eligible. If Jack, you're putty, win this HOH.
Because you got to think that there's these late night conversations around the pool table, a.k.a. the place to be. And you think that they're probably like talking through this whole thing. Jackie Childs has a whole plan. You know, Peterman is like pitching ideas. And then after they settle on everything, Frank Costanza is probably like, let me get this straight. Like, you know, he's probably wants to change things up all the time, last minute.
You think Frank Costanza is part of the late night pool table? Yeah, I know he loves pool, but he probably goes to bed early.
Yeah.
He may actually see, he may wake up when like Putty and George and Kramer are still out there playing pool. And he may actually get up. So he might get in on the end of like the nighttime conversation.
Right. Like we're up all night making plans and then they're up to like 5 a.m., 6 a.m. He's getting up and then he sort of like is trying to put the kibosh on all these plans that they came up with.
That's right. And they just want to go to sleep at that point.
Right. And he's wearing sneakers in the pool as well.
Yeah, that's right. In the hot tub, the pool, and like the Big Brother voice keeps coming on, like, no sneakers in the pool.
I don't want to take my shoes off. Yeah. He's probably very upset about the whole thing. Okay.
You think production has ever hated someone more than they hate Frank Costanza?
Probably not.
I can see him just going to like that, just going to like do an interview with the producers and him just never coming out. Them like being so sick, they just send them home.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to our final six HOH. And the HOH here is Putty's HOH. So Putty becomes HOH at the final six.
And this is going to be the first time we have a traditional six person veto also.
Yes, yes. Even though we've let everybody
turn in
play.
Now, I know they were out on the 13 person veto in week one.
Well, it was a throwback to the original veto season of Big Brother 3. Okay, all right. So here we are.
I like how someone like in the production, and I guess like why they switched it because it looks different. Like otherwise, it just feels like a second HOH. Mm-hmm. If you have six people, you could do like more interesting competitions. Maybe they're over faster. But I like someone's like, you know, what would make great TV? If we picked a couple names out of a hat and spent like 5 minutes on that every Wednesday.
Yes. What would you prefer? Like a spin a wheel?
I don't know. It's just like a weird thing to be on. Like Survivor doesn't even show that. And they, you know, like it's a little weird that it's like just such a big deal.
Well, you got 3 hours a week, Keeve.
I know. Listen, trust me, there's plenty of filler on that show.
And on this show. But let's get into our nominations here. So you got to figure George is on the block no matter what in this spot. And then who is the pawn that has to go up from the bros / man's ears? I think that this is a very contentious situation.
Well, it would have been Putty, but he's HOH. So to me, I think there's only two options.
Right.
You could put up George with Kramer or you put up George with his dad.
Does anybody want to be the pawn? Does anybody volunteer to go up in this spot?
Now, we've never seen anybody like Brandon Hand style or Eric Reichenbach style, like give up their immunity. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
I guess that we have. I think we have. Right. But we've seen people give up the veto. Never.
Yes.
I mean, can you even give up your HOH?
No, you can't. Like Putty can't go sit on the block with George.
Right. Because Putty's the only one dumb enough to do that. That's right. My thought.
I mean, could you talk Kramer into it?
I think you could have in week one, but now he's like, you know, like the equivalent of a super fan. He knows the rules. He's here to win at this point.
Yeah. But I don't want to go on.
He needs the money. Kramer needs the money much more than, say, Jackie Childs does or Jay Peterman does.
Yeah. So Kramer isn't into it. So Jackie Childs, he's like, why should I sit on the block?
I mean, Jackie Childs is talking his way out of anything. Like he can school these guys.
Yeah. Could Peterman, could you get him to sit on the block?
Probably. That would be the most boring veto speech of all time.
The block.
One time I was in the jungles of Burma. Let me tell you how I found out about the Malaysian trench coat of 1982.
Ah, the power of veto necklace. What an amulet.
You think Peterman's going up with George?
I mean, Peterman hasn't been on the block yet. You get into a lot of that. I feel like it's probably either Peterman or Frank Costanza. But I feel like that if you put Frank up on the block with George, I think you make it very easy for George to sell the case. Dad, everybody's against you. But you take away the one vote that would probably be to save George.
Yeah. The only thing is if you are Jackie, Putty and Peterman and you get rid of the fourth person in Kramer, even like you get rid of that one person in your alliance, you're almost guaranteed to go to the final three now.
Right. Oh, I think we have to do probably. I don't think you can sell it to Frank Costanza, but if he won the veto, he might take George down. So you have to put him up on the block there.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about him playing and, you know, giving him an extra chance to playing in the veto because, one, we're not playing like that, and two, there's only six people left.
Right, because Frank could win the veto, he could take George down, and now all of a sudden one of the bros slash man's ears is going home no matter what. All right, so George and Frank are the block. Frank's not happy about it, but what are you going
to
do?
I know. He throws a fit. I mean, you got two Costanzas next to each other again. It's not great.
Yes. Okay. So he's outraged about this, but there's nothing he can do except for win the veto. And in the veto competition, it is going to be Peterman that wins the veto.
Yeah. He's not using it.
Yes. But he is very impressed with the necklace.
Yeah. Loves a necklace. He's going to, you know, make an equivalent one and put it in his catalog.
Yes. I think his second veto of the season.
Yeah, Peterman, Putty, and Kramer have really been the real challenge horses so far this season.
Yes, very much so. All right, so that he will not use the veto. George and Frank are on the block, and then with Putty as the HOH, only three votes this week. So Jackie Childs votes to evict. I mean, do they potentially vote out Frank Costanza that he's throwing such a fit?
Well, you have to be a little bit worried about George and Kramer working together, but that's still a minority alliance, right?
Yeah.
If you can get rid of Frank now, then you have to think that the main, you know, Manzier alliance really has smooth sailing to the end.
I mean, Frank has to be tantruming about going up on the block. I mean, George, at worst, he's like, ho ho, like he's miffed, but I don't think he's going nuts.
There's no way that Frank would say, hey, vote out me, not my son, right?
Right. No, no way. But I think that they're probably, I think you take the shot at Frank Costanza here.
Right. And Kramer would keep George maybe anyway. So I think you're right. I think all three people vote for Frank by a vote of 3-0. He's evicted.
All right. And Frank Costanza, the security has to come and drag him out of the house.
Oh, yeah. No, he's not leaving on his own.
So he's very upset. Wow. Big blind side here.
What do you think the exit interview with Julie and Frank? I think it's like, let me pitch you an idea for Les Moonves. Where's Les? I want to talk to Uncle Les here.
Yeah. Why did they cancel CSI? Yeah.
Forget about that. CBS used to own the Yankees. He'd go back to like 1970s Yankees talk.
Yeah, I'd be very upset about this. Okay. All right. So he goes to the jury house with Jerry Elaine and Sue Ellen Mischke and is really just very upset about this. Final five now is George Kramer, Jackie Childs, Putty, and Peterman. Here left in the house. And so our final five HOH, of course, that Putty is not eligible for this HOH. And this week it is going to be, oh, look at this. George Costanza, finally an HOH. First HOH out of the threesome of Jerry, George, and Elaine. And so now with only five people left in the house, a huge spot for George Costanza. Summer of George.
By this point, it's almost the fall at this point. But at this point, he is by far number one on Joker's updates, George.
Yes, right? Yes.
He's
under
no power.
Yes.
He's the underdog story.
Right.
That's right. And you have to start being worried about he's got the jury big time, George, if you let him get to the end.
I mean, his father, Jerry and Elaine are on the jury. So he's a huge jury threat right now.
Yeah. So who does George look to put up?
All right. Well, I think he's probably got to try to play to Kramer of keeping Kramer off the block.
Yeah.
And then it's some combination of Jackie Childs, Putty, and Peterman.
Right. So does he have any, I mean, so Putty just sent his dad home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Putty put him up Putty's on the block. Right.
Yeah, Putty put him up. I think Putty's is there. He's the one.
Mm-hmm.
I would take a shot at Jackie Childs now. I feel like he's your biggest competition.
Yeah. He can talk in front of the jury. You're right. He's tight with Kramer. So, all right. So Putty and Jackie Childs are up on the block. And a huge veto here in week number 9. And this week, would you believe George Costanza wins the veto?
Oh, wow. It's really George's week.
Yeah. It's the week of George at the very least. So he will probably leave these nominations the same. And then this week, only two people get to cast a vote, Kramer and then Peterman. Would they be on the same page? Could George and Kramer potentially pull Peterman over?
I mean, first of all, they don't need Peterman, right? Because George is the tiebreaker.
That's true. That's true.
So I don't know. I mean, it's nice to have Peterman as your third. And if you're Peterman, it's smart to sort of make this cross alliance. But then you have to be worried, is Jackie Childs going to, you know, because right now Peterman and Jackie Childs are pretty tight. Is Jackie Childs maybe going to put Putty above Peterman on his list if he wins the next HOH?
The thing is, for George, I think it's an easy sell to Kramer to say, hey, who do you want to keep in the house? Putty, who is more of a challenge beast, but dumb, or Jackie Childs, who's smart.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's an easy sell. And then even if Peterman, for some reason, gets talked into keeping Jackie Childs, George can break the tie.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you go. I think you vote out Jackie Childs here.
Yeah. Is it a 1-1 split?
Yeah. I think Peterman, he stay. You know, he also has to worry about jury management.
Yeah.
Peterman votes for.
To evict Putty.
Yes. To evict Putty. Then Kramer votes to evict
Jackie.
But no, Kramer's really voting out his boy Jackie.
Yeah, because George talks him into it. Putty is dumb. Jackie Childs is smart.
Yeah, I think Kramer might insist on voting Putty.
Why? Why keep the person who's the really smart jury threat in a game? Putty has no allegiance to George.
Yeah, but Jackie Childs has an allegiance to Kramer.
George, he can't pull Kramer over to his side in any way?
I think he can. I guess he can. He reluctantly votes out Jackie.
Yeah. And Jackie Childs is furious because George offered him a final two deal. And Jackie Childs is like, who told you to take the deal? Who told you to take the deal? I didn't tell you to take the deal.
Yeah. You could say Jackie Childs got burned by some scalding hot.
Yeah. Kramer always screws him over.
Yeah. To be fair, Jackie was probably the biggest favorite to win with five people left. So I think this was a good move.
And so Jackie Childs off to the jury house now at the final four. Now, here's where George is way screwed unless he can win a veto in this spot, because now he can't play in the HOH and now it's down to the final four. And so here is our final four HOH between George, Kramer, Putty, and Peterman. And now the next HOH is going to be Kramer. Cosmo Kramer wins an HOH here at the final four.
Can you imagine trying to explain to like Putty why it doesn't matter who you put up?
Yeah.
In the final four as your two noms.
I don't get it. Yeah. All right. So now final four is all about who wins the veto. So sure, Kramer is the HOH. Just for the sake of argument, who does he have sit on the block? I think just for appearances with his alliance, I think he has George go up on the block.
Yeah, I think George and Putty.
And Putty. Okay.
He was closer to Peterman. Putty was really the fifth wheel in that alliance. I feel like Peterman has been closer to the whole game.
Okay. So this is really what it all comes down to. Huge veto here at the final four. And now Putty wins the veto, takes himself off.
Oh, boy. And Putty is the only vote.
Putty is the only vote here. And now it'll be George and Peterman that are up on the block. For Kramer, you know, winning HOH was really just immunity. So for Putty, he has to decide to evict either George or Peterman. And then he will obviously vote to evict George, right?
Yeah. I mean, George's only hope was to win that veto. If Kramer won, it would have been super interesting. I think Kramer might have kept him. But yeah, George is toast at this point. Second he loses, he could pack his bags.
Yeah. All right. So George Costanza, sadly, voted out at the final four. Everybody is very upset. People were really rooting for him. And we get to a final three, which is Kramer, Putty, and Peterman.
Yeah, pretty solid final three.
Pretty solid final three. Now, this will work in some interesting ways where now, of course, that Kramer is eligible to win the final three HOH, but it's a three-part HOH. Okay, yeah. So the first part is the endurance competition, and one of these three guys will win the endurance comp, and that person will move on to the final part of the final three HOH. So
yeah, I would say that favors Kramer, who's, you know, used to staying up for like 22 hours a day.
Yes. But yet Keeve Peterman wins part one of the final HOH.
Yeah.
How about
That's why it's, you know, that's why it's tricky that we're randomizing these things. We're not actually playing them out.
Well, maybe Peterman could be like very zen and sort of like go into some sort of like other state while he's just like hanging on to the rope or whatever.
That's possible. Or he just bores them so much that they jump off to get away from him.
Yes. I remember that time because, you know, they fall asleep. Putty's too big. He's got too much mass. Maybe Kramer does too.
Yeah, they are big dudes. Yeah, Putty would have a tough time with this one. But I don't know. I think in a fair horse race, it would have been Kramer. But anyway, Peterman's HOH, and now we got Kramer versus Putty for the spot to face him in the final HOH.
Right. He's won part one of the HOH. Okay.
Correct.
All right. So now it comes down to Kramer versus Putty And
that's a sequel to Kramer versus Kramer. Sorry.
Yes. Kramer versus Putty. And that it should be no surprise that this is kind of like a quiz. This part, Kramer ends up winning part two.
Yes. Yeah. Putty is really, I can't even imagine Putty in part three of this final HOH.
Well, he would probably be good if it's sort of like a puzzle, like putting stuff together is sort of like akin to maybe the parts of an engine. But no.
Yeah.
Kramer ends up winning part two of the final HOH. So Kramer versus Peterman in the final HOH. And so this is very interesting, Keeve. How do you think this is going to play out?
Well, let's think of some of the questions. Like, okay, I'm Jerry.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they got on and it's like, what's the deal with, like, is he going to say airplane food? Or is he going to say, you guys voting me out?
Yeah. Or would it be like, what's the deal with being a have not? Is it A, why do they call it slop? Or B, why do they have to make the furniture so uncomfortable in the have not room? Okay. All right, Keeve. Here's for all the marbles. This is our final HOH is either Peterman or Kramer. And it's Kramer wins the final HOH.
What a celebration.
And so here we are. Now, Kramer has to decide, does he want to take Putty or Peterman with him to the final two?
I mean, to me, this is an obvious one, I think.
Yeah.
Peterman has some loyal allies on the jury. You know, Frank is loyal to Peterman, but he's also loyal to Kramer. Jackie Childs, I think you have to take Peterman because, one, he's wealthy. You could say, like, Peterman doesn't need the money. Is anyone voting for Putty?
Maybe Elaine.
Maybe Elaine. Yeah, Elaine is probably voting for Putty. Does Peterman have the votes? Like, if you're Kramer, does Peterman really have the votes?
I don't know if Peterman has the votes.
He played a much better game. Peterman really controlled a lot of the game.
There's anti-Kramer votes on the jury, too, like Jackie Childs.
Yeah, Jackie Childs has definitely turned on Kramer.
I mean, Jackie Childs is known to make a case or two to the jury. I mean, he could make a very effective anti-Kramer case. But I guess he does it for either person.
Yeah, what if Peterman gets up there and offers everyone like full-time no-show jobs at his company if they vote
for him? No-show jobs at Jay Peterman?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of organization is he running?
I don't know. He's just some rich dude. He could just bribe them with, you know, if he could spend, you know, five figures on JFK's broken golf clubs.
Why? Because he wants to win Seinfeld Big Brother so badly?
Listen, it's the winning is you know, the $500,000 is temporary, and so is the money he's spending on their fake jobs. But the glory of being a Big Brother winner lasts forever.
Mr. Pitt, I could see potentially doing this, but I don't think that Peterman wants to sully the integrity of the game like that.
Okay. So, I mean, what do you think Kramer does? Because this is a really tough decision.
I think he should take Putty with him.
Yeah.
I mean, Putty's won more competitions. He's won, what, two vetoes and an HOH. Peterman has won a veto and an HOH. I'm sorry, he won two vetoes and an HOH. Putty's won two. So it's comp-wise, they're very similar.
Yeah. It'll be tough to make a case. But yeah, I think you're right. He votes to evict Peterman.
Okay. Because I think you vote, you know, you bring the dumber person with you to the end.
Yeah, I think that's usually the right strategy.
Okay, I mean, is Putty going to be able to really make an articulate case to the jury?
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah, I mean, Peterman probably is going to go on too long, but he might be able to, like, you know, he has a way with words.
Who's going to give a better speech, Liz or Julia, whichever one was in the final two, I don't remember, or Putty?
Probably Julia. I think it was Liz, actually.
I think it was Liz in the final two, actually.
Yeah, okay. All right, so here we are. Kramer versus Putty in the final two of Seinfeld Big Brother. All right, so we have our jury. I don't know if we need to get into what questions they ask, but here's our jury. It's Elaine, Sue Ellen Mischke, Jerry, Frank, Jackie Childs, George, and Peterman. Now, who comes and talks to, who's in like the Dr. Will role that like really gets the jury hyped up?
That's a good question.
The soup Nazi?
Is it like a past player? What if it, you know, it could be Jimmy. Jimmy could come and like talk about himself a lot.
Yes. Is this Tim Watley's spot where he comes in?
Well, I think I got the perfect guy for that.
Who?
I think it's Regis.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Regis hates Kramer.
But that's fine. I think we've had seasons where like the you know, Dr. Will hates someone else. I think Regis comes and, you know, just bashes Kramer and talks about how he, you know, with the coffee table book and everything.
All right.
I think he's the guy you could get. You could actually, Big Brother could probably get Regis nowadays to do that if they want.
Yeah, sure. Why not? So that would be really fun. So let's just talk through. Okay, so we have our final two. It's Kramer versus Putty. Elaine, what is she doing?
I think she has to vote with her heart. I, you know, they've broken up so many times this season alone, but I think Kramer has, Elaine has to throw a vote for Putty. In her mind, it's the only guaranteed vote for Putty. I think, you have to respect their relationship. I think Elaine votes for Putty.
Right. Elaine, especially season seven, Elaine, you know, when she finds out how much money Jerry makes, that she's really into him. Putty with $500,000 is probably the most exciting Putty there is for Elaine.
That's right. That's
okay. Right. So Elaine votes for Putty. Okay. She puts her key in the box. Now, Sue Ellen Mischke, real wild card here.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you have the person on the jury who doesn't even have a strong bond with either person.
Right.
And they didn't see enough of the gameplay to really make an informed decision other than what people are coming to the jury house and saying. I don't know.
But she has to know Elaine wants Putty to win. And I think just for that, she would vote for Kramer. It potentially helps Elaine if Putty wins.
So who do you think she's voting for?
I think she votes for Kramer. It's an anti-Putty vote.
Yeah, anti-Putty vote. So Sue Ellen, Kramer, now we're at 1-1.
Yeah. Sue Ellen Mischke went out of the game. Actually, Kramer put her on the block both times that she was nominated.
Hmm. Yeah, so you're switching it? You think Sue Ellen votes for Putty?
Yeah. I mean, she sat on the block next to Putty the week she went home when Kramer put her and Putty up on the block and she ended up going home. So maybe she has animosity towards Kramer as well.
She's really pulling like a Hannah Shapiro here. She's just up there.
All right, let's go to the random number generator. And so let's just decide which way she goes. One is Kramer, two is Putty. And so basically this is like flipping a coin and she ends up casting her vote for Putty.
All right. So 2-0 Putty.
Wow. So next, Jerry, he has no allegiance to Putty. He'll cast a vote for the K-man.
Yeah, this is a K-man vote for sure.
Okay.
Ironic that Jerry is giving a key to Kramer again.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Now this is where it gets interesting. Frank Costanza has to vote for either Kramer or Putty. Let's not forget Putty on his HOH put George and Frank Costanza on the block.
There's no way that Frank doesn't vote for the K-man.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying, that Putty put Frank Costanza on the block. So I think that he's really mad at Putty. 2-2.
Yeah. 2-2 for sure.
Okay. Jackie Chiles, that he sat next to Putty on the block, but Kramer cast the deciding vote against him. He took the deal that George gave him.
Yeah, so, I think Jackie Chiles has a lot of pent up animosity towards Kramer. I think he's voting for Putty here.
Yeah, I think he's just like completely destroying Kramer with his speech.
I agree. And to be fair, Jackie Chiles is on a losing streak. Last we saw him.
Yes.
But I think it's a no-brainer here. Even though he was closer with Kramer in the game for most of the game, you know, ultimately Kramer backstabbed him. So 3-2 Putty.
All right. George is next. He has to cast a vote for Kramer to win.
There's no question.
Wow. Wow. Well, this is like shades of Big Brother 18, this exciting finale. Only one key left, and it belongs to Jay Peterman.
Oh, man.
What does Jay Peterman do? Does he vote for who played the best game, or is he upset with the person that burned him? The person that sent him out of the game. Kramer wanted to sit next to Putty in the end. Now Mr. Peterman has all the power.
I think Peterman views himself as like the kingpin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Kramer got out the kingpin. That's like the biggest move you could possibly make.
Respect.
I can't, like, Peterman and Putty were in an alliance, but I don't know if they were like, could they have a conversation with each other?
Probably
not. I don't
think
they were like personally close during the game.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Peterman at least knew Kramer beforehand and had a relationship with
him. But Jackie Chiles is very anti-Kramer. I mean, Peterman voted to keep Jackie Chiles. Kramer voted against him. That maybe Peterman might be looking at that move as that he had this final two or final three deal. Kramer threw it all away, made it all go to hell.
What do you think he does? It's so close.
Kramer played the better game, but is Peterman bitter? What do you think about him? Does he reward the better gameplay or is he angry?
It's such a tough call. I think I just can't see him respecting Putty.
No. I think maybe he says, Kramer, you were a worthy adversary.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Cosmo Kramer is the winner of Big Brother Seinfeld 1.
Giddy up.
Not to imply there's going to be a 2.
Wow. The K-Man did it, Keeve.
Unbelievable. And I think, who's the no doubt America's favorite player?
Oh, I think it's probably George. I mean, he was such an underdog the whole way.
Yeah, definitely George.
Yeah. I mean, Kramer really did play the best game, that he had ties to the core four and they kept him safe. But then he went behind their back and he started the bros slash Manzier. He was able to ride that out. I mean, he won the final HOH. He was HOH 3 times along the way. He also won the veto 3 times. So he really was a sort of alpha male comp beast. He played the strategic game. He might be the best winner in the history of Big Brother.
I mean, he's at least in Derek's league. I think he had so many, like, I mean, he came in with so many, you know, like built in alliances, Kramer, but he really, by the way, you know, it would have been a good twist if we had like thought about this more.
What's that?
What if they had, like, you know, when we were casting the season, what if Kramer's never before seen dad was also in the house?
Oh, wow.
That would have been a good twist had we just thought of it too late.
Project DNA. Or maybe we should save that for Seinfeld Big Brother OTT.
That's right. And, like, what about Elaine's dad, who would for sure be evicted on night one for, like, murdering somebody?
Probably. Wow. I can't believe it. Well, this was a good ending to the season, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is a top tier season.
Yeah. A really great season of Big Brother. Very exciting end game. And boy, I hope you guys got some enjoyment out of any of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So very fun stuff that I don't know if I promoted it at the top of the show, but if you want to hear us talk about more Seinfeld, not only could you keep on going with the 8th and 9th season of Seinfeld on Post Show Recaps, but there are 7 seasons of Seinfeld Post Show Recaps for you to check out anytime, all on postshowrecaps.com. You could subscribe to the podcast as well, postshowrecaps.com/Seinfeld iTunes. And we always appreciate your feedback and star ratings in the iTunes store. Keeve, anything else?
Yeah, somebody said that it's 173 hours of content if, you know, you listen to every single, you know, show we've done so far. Not to scare people off from trying it.
Not to scare people off. But if you have a favorite Seinfeld episode, I think it's the kind of, unlike a lot of what we do with Survivor and Big Brother, that you have to listen to in order. I think you could bounce around quite a bit with the Seinfeld podcast.
Totally. You could skip the first 2 seasons. You know, you could go to your favorite episodes. I think, you definitely can. If you were crazy enough to go listen to all 173 hours, listen and then hashtag I listen to all 173 hours and I will PayPal you 50 cents.
Go. Oh, wow. Oh, what a deal. All right. So what's the hashtag? I don't think it should be like hashtag Kramer wins.
No. Yeah, of course. You can't spoil the season.
No, don't people spoil the season for people. Okay. So what should it be?
I mean, should people say, like, you know, we could finally settle the age old debate. Like, if you like the bros, then it's hashtag bros. And if you like the men's ears, it's hashtag men's ears.
Yes. Let's go with that for the alliance that really dominated this whole game. And I'm sure Kramer is going to have some T-shirts out after this.
Yeah, definitely. I think, Bob Sacamano knows a guy. He'll give him a great deal on like rat infested T-shirts and they'll be able to sell them.
Also, if you want to check this out, I believe George Costanza is doing an Ask Me Anything on the Big Brother subreddit also to talk about the season. So that's very exciting.
Yeah, you'll be doing exit interviews tomorrow with you're going to the house.
Yes.
We're flying up with side.
We're going to do some press in the backyard to talk about all that. Yeah.
I don't think you're going to get Sewell and Mishki. I think they're bringing it right into the OTT house.
Yeah. Also, by the way, Uncle Leo is all over Instagram talking about how he would have won the season if he didn't get screwed in the first week. So he has a whole like revisionist history about how he would have won the whole thing.
That's right. Or you could just hear him talk about it the next live know-it-alls for Seinfeld Big Brother.
I had the whole thing in the bag. Yeah. All right, Keeve. You can follow the great Keeve Winokur on Twitter. He's at Keeve26. Help him in his quest to get more Twitter followers than his sister.
That's right. I got to get to my family, like, they said they won't respect me until I get to 1,000 followers. My kids won't listen to anything I say. My wife, like, ignores me. So if I get to 1,000, then they'll let me back into the family. So
all right.
If you could knock me up from, like, 920-something to 1,000, that would really make my day.
Good. All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this special coverage of Seinfeld Big Brother. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. I can only imagine what you've thought after all of this. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.